Good afternoon and welcome to another Thursday night edition of Sports Look here on K-Radio. And of course, it's brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Gus, the upcoming sports schedule, it's still packed, but we're in the twilight, okay? Tomorrow night, we're in the NEKL, Glenbound of Valley Falls. It'll be Jefferson County North and the Dragons Friday night. Saturday afternoon, we'll be talking about this at some length as the Benedictine Ravens are going to be up in the Nolan Gymnasium. It is a 12 noon game for the girls and the guys at 2 o'clock here on CARE as BC will host Mount Mercy. Tuesday, back we go to Effingham. It'll be Jeff North at ACCHS. And before we get back, we'll have another Wednesday game. Benedictine will be at home in their season home finale with Grandview 5:30, 7:30 next Wednesday. High school basketball. Can you believe it? We're going to be talking about this all day. We are getting down to the little last dab of the regular season. And teams have been... I talked to a lot of the coaches, and I feel bad for some of them because they're feeling stressed. They have been playing 3 and 4 games a week here lately, making up for some of those ones that the weather had postponed and delayed, and trying to get them all in before the sub-state and the numbers come out for them, because you know how coaches love to get all those games in. So it's been a whirlwind of basketball this last few weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? Teams just trying to sneak games in, try to get some things to happen as we're down to the last, as crazy as that sounds, we're down to the last week, right? Next Friday is going to be the last regular season game, and we'll be talking about exactly where those sub-states are all going to line up and look. So, yeah, it's just kind of crazy to think that we're already to this point of the season.
Yeah, and with that said, you know, we first of all, as we'll look here in just a second, it's, you know, maybe a little bit about the sub-states and how things are kind of shaping up. But a little tip of the hat, Morehead Academy ladies winning the conference championship for the first time in many, many years, 39 years since they won it back in 1985. And some of these girls who were playing, their moms probably weren't in school yet, you know? So, yeah, it's remarkable, but perfect 14-0. They pulled out a close 4-point win over Pleasant Ridge to seal that deal the other night. And so congratulations to them. The MHMA guys also in a battle for the NEKL crown also. And this is going to come right down to the last game or two. That all said, you know, we have a lot of games going on around the area this weekend, not just our game here on CARE, of course, but we've got lots of other ones coming up also. And I guess my first suggestion, as always, is get to the mscsports.net and get that schedule pulled up. Because, first of all, I guess we need to mention that tonight Jackson Heights is going to be playing JCN. And Perry Compton is going to be at Hiawatha for the girls' game. They're making some games up. Friday night, full slate. Royal Valley at Hiawatha, Holton at Sabetha, Jeff West, Nemaha Central. Riverside is going to be home with Perry LaCompton. You're going to have ACCHS at Oskaloosa. Horton will come to Morehead Academy. Jackson Heights goes to McLeod. And, of course, the game we're going to have here, JCN, is at Valley Falls this weekend, or this Friday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah, so with those games, we start kind of turning our attention towards sub-states and how things are going to look. And if we start at Class 4A, right now Atchison finds themselves out on top with St. George's Rock Creek. Both those teams at 15-2. The marginal points that would give Atchison a little bit of an edge there right now. So if the season were to end today, Atchison would either get Paola, or if they fell to the two, they would get Labette County. The funny thing about that is, Atchison going to play Labette County this week. So one of those things. You start to turn your attention to the West. McPherson, the Bull Pups, the only undefeated team left in the Class 4A. They are 17-0. Two is Circle, Hugoton, and Abilene are the top four in the West right now.
And, of course, if you go, what, we need to probably take a little glance at how the ladies are checking out, right?
Yeah, yep. Class 4A on the girls' side.
And hang on, let me get that page refreshed here, because these are going to reflect also the games that we just had as we were down with Atchison, down against Highland Park at Topeka West a couple of nights ago, and Atchison dropping a pair there. So the Phoenix girls team at 9-7, they're just about dead center in the middle of the pack. And frankly, for them, this last game or two is going to make a huge difference. Are you getting a home game in the first round?
Yep. Right now, Atchison sitting in that 9 spot. So, for one game, you know, kind of flip-flopping right there. Independence is right ahead of them, both teams at 9-7. Now, you start thinking, what are the standings, the tiebreakers, things like that? You're going to go, of course, head-to-head. Most of these teams are going to play head-to-head. So, then you go to win-loss percentage, okay? After that, the next one is marginal point differential. So your marginal point differential is kind of what you're going to see in the third column there. That's going to be the difference maker. That's why, like, on the guy's side, Atchison is 1, even though they're tied with Rock Creek, you know, with the same 15-2 record. It goes back to marginal point.
Yeah. And so for the Atchison girls right now, if it stopped today, they would get a home game, right? They're number 9. Yeah. They would get the last home game. And, but of course, again, there are games to be figured into this. And, you know, this takes us back to something that we've talked about a million times, and we're going to throw it out here real quick. The incentive for coaches to win big, right here it is. This is why.
Yeah, you know, but you look at it, 9, 10, 16. Okay. See? Coaches are racing to get these games in, right? They want to get games. They know that, but it only matters for state. It only matters for 8 teams in each division, right? It doesn't matter on sub-state. Atchison ladies are actually getting an advantage by playing 2 fewer games than Parsons.
Yeah, and of course, right? When you go 4, 5, 6A, there really isn't like so much of a sub-state like it is, you know, the sub-state's in the 3 and down.
Yeah.
Because you're playing everybody in the East and just breaking it down top to bottom.
Yeah, but Atchison at 9-7, and Parsons is at 10-8, and Atchison's ahead of them because of winning percentage. Right?
Yes.
You have just a marginally better winning percentage at
563 and 550.
Then, yeah. So, again, it's one of those things that's a little crazy, but, again, you've got to start sitting down, and I think sometimes coaches just race into, we're going to play that game. You got to kind of sit down and decide whether that game's really advantageous to play.
Yeah, and of course, Atchison's in 9th because the team ahead of them in 8th has the same record at 9-7. So the same .563 winning percentage. However, the marginal points for Independence, they've won by an average of 2.8, Atchison a 1.3, so there's that margin. A few points, a couple of points a game could move you up a spot or two or three right now.
So then how about we jump down to Class 3A? Let's just stay on the ladies' side right here. So you go to Class 3A, you're going to fly mostly to the bottom. You're going to find the Hoyt or Royal Valley Girls Substate. We know who is going to be the 1 seed.
Yep.
Right? Topeka Hayden finds themselves out on top of 14-3, and they just can't fall out of it. ACCHS seems pretty locked into that 2 seed as they find themselves at 6-9. Jeff West is 7-11. Then you fall down to Perry LeCompton at 6-11, Hiawatha at 5-12, Royal Valley at 5-13, Sabetha at 4-14, and Bishop Ward looking for a win this year.
Yeah, so for ACCHS, they're going to get a home game. I don't think, you know, I think that they're in pretty good shape for that. But again, the difference from second place, 6 wins, all the way down to 6th place, 5 wins, you know, there's just not a big spread here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really the only spread is you talk about Hayden in the field, right? Right now, Hayden with 14 wins already. So, again, that's kind of the one that we'll keep an eye on when it comes to Class 3A. So now, flip over to the guy's side, and you're going to fly back down to that Royal Valley sub-state. It's going to find Sabetha, pretty much locked up that 1 seed there, 16-2. Perry LeCompton right now is in the 2 spot at 13-5. Ward is 10-7. Hiawatha, 8-10. Those are your top 4.
Yeah.
if the season were to end today, it'd be Hiawatha versus Jeff West. Hayden would go to Ward. Perry LeCompton would be hosting Royal Valley, and ACCHS would get Sabetha. You know, an old Big 7 type game. So that's what it looks like in Class 3A.
I was afraid you were going to run out and start covering that Holcomb substates, you know, with Goodland and Lake. But no, we don't need those. By the way, in Class 3A under boys, there are some really good teams. 16-2 Cheney, 15-3 Heston, 16-2 Ellsworth. None of these towns, you know, where they are, but, you know. The very best one, though, by the way, is Beloit. Beloit is 17-1. No undefeated teams in 3A right now. You want to run over to the 2A guys?
Yeah. Jumping down to Class 2A on the boys' side, and that is the JCN Substate. And so this is the guys' side right now. You've got Moore Hill Mount Academy out on top at 14-4. Hot on their heels, Horton at 13-4. So, again, it'd be really interesting to see how these two teams finish out the season. And you know what? When you get to this point in the season, you really wish, like, one would play two so you could really get a feel instead of going to, you know, the percentages. Yeah, why don't you just line it up tomorrow night and a whole lot on the line, right? As it will be Moore Hill Mount Academy at Horton, or excuse me, Moore Hill Mount Academy with Horton tomorrow night. So, again, you're going to get a real feel for who locks down that one seed in this JCN substate.
How much does it matter?
No.
None.
I mean, other than you, in this, if you substate, like that white jersey, that's the only difference.
In this substate, one and two is going to make really no difference because one and two are both going to be home in the first round. One and two are both going to be playing 3 and 4, who are both 11-6. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not going to make any difference whether you end up with Valley Falls or JCN. And if they were both to advance, then they're still in the title game, and it doesn't matter. Again, the difference. Which jersey are you going to sport tonight?
Exactly. You know, you're going to wear the home one. You're going to wear the away one. I think the one team that, you know, kind of has me always intrigued is Care Paravel, right? Just because you don't see them. They've defeated McLeod this season. They've lost to Horton. They play Maranatha, Seabury, Ward. I mean, Heritage Christian. So, again, teams that you just don't really see other than maybe a midseason tournament, you run across some of those teams. But, yeah, right now, Care Paravel in that, and they are 10-8.
Okay. The only mystery right now, really, in how the JCN boys substate lays out is, in my opinion, we can't call it a playing game. Keisha hates that. It is a round one game to see who takes the 8th spot. And you've got three teams right now tied for 7, 8, 9. Two of those teams are going to play on Saturday, and it'll be either Pleasant Ridge, McLeod, Riverside, all again at 4-14.
Yeah. So, again.
And the winner of that game will go to MHMA.
Yeah, and you start flying through the boys' substates throughout the state in Class 2A. There is an undefeated team.
There is.
And that team has also got a state football trophy in the case already this year.
And we've seen them. Not really so much basketball, but we've seen them many times in football with Linden High School. They are really, really good. They're one of those teams that continues to be, you know, good in whatever they do and whoever they're playing. And they're rolling up points. I mean, 67, 68, 67, 76, 77, 74. I mean, they're very capable of winning games. And they beat Riverside, for example, in January. 74-20. That they're that kind of good. Okay.
So now, turning to the ladies' side on that Class 2A substate at JCN. Riverside on top, right? They're 17-1. They are looking to be the one seed. The champions of the NEK, Moore Hill Mount Academy, looks like they'll be locked into that 2 spot. Then you start looking at 3 and 4. Again, you're still talking home games, whether you flip or you flop. It depends whether you want Moore Hill Mount Academy first or Riverside first. But you're going to see Pleasant Ridge at 3, JCN at 4, Oskaloosa at 5, Valley Falls 6, Horton 7, And then looking for your eighth spot is Care Paravel and McLeod. And really it depends on this last week between Horton and Care Paravel, how they match up. McLeod knows they're in that first round game. Okay. They just have to figure out whether they're going to Horton or whether they're going to Topeka.
Yeah. It's going to be a really good sub-state. JCN does a nice job. They have hosted this many, many times down there. And again, the prize, a trip to Bramlage, right?
No.
Is that not where 2A is at this year? I thought 2A was traditionally Bramlage. That could be.
It might be Bramlage. Is it something else is moving this year? Remember, something has a weird state tournament.
We'll do some research to figure out where they're headed.
Yeah. Class 2A is going to Dodge. Yeah. 2A is going to be at the Wireless Arena.
Really? 1A used to always be out there.
Yeah. 1A is going to the Colby Event Center. 3A, of course, is the Sports Arena. 4A, without a doubt, is the Tony's
Tony
Center. Still want to call it the Bicentennial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
White Auditorium is 5, and Class 6A is Coke Arena. But I feel like Bramlage is getting a facelift or something, that I remember there being like a press release that you're going somewhere else for a year. So, okay. Yes, Class 2A gets the prize of going to Dodge City. Class 1A Division 2 gets to go to the home of the Cougars, Barton.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
So, anyway, kind of a little different feel this year for some of those teams.
Well, again, go to mscsports.net. Check out the schedule. Find where you're going. And again, for us, we're going to go to Valley Falls Friday night, ACCHS Tuesday night, as this regular season is winding down. We're going to be winding down some more basketball. Sportsoak continues right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look on a Thursday in February. Welcome back, everybody. Gus Kautz with me, Tom Kautz. And last night, Gus, a trip down to Parkville, Missouri for the Benedictine Ravens as we're in the last couple of weeks of their regular season. Good news is, short trip, easy place to get to, nice little gym. Bad news is, neither the Raven men or women were able to notch a dub last night, and the Lady Ravens found themselves in trouble early. Battled back in this game, but Park was able to hold him at arm's length, winning it last night 63-50 for the BC Ladies. Early in the game, it was just turnovers and fouls that jammed him up early and got them in that big deep hole.
Yeah, you finished the game with 24 turnovers. That's a lot of turnovers in a college basketball game, right? 24 turnovers, you scored 50 points, so, you know, it exactly wasn't where you wanted to be. It wasn't good enough to win that ball game last night. They were 11 of 17 from the free throw line, so not quite as high as you'd like, but not a bad number. Couldn't hit the three. You were 5 of 21. Some of that kind of came down to you dug yourself an early hole, and then you had to start chucking up some threes to try to buy yourself back into that ball game. Shot 34% from the field, and for the Lady Ravens, it was just an off night, right? Like, everybody is going to have those during a basketball season. And for Coach Folsom, I'm thinking that, you know, he's going to tell you, I'd rather have that off night be February 14th than March 5th or 7th. You know, I mean, like, have that now, get that out of your system, and realize you've got to build from it. But we'll talk about here in a minute. This time of year is always tough to lose.
It is. And for the Lady Ravens, by the way, also, and making no excuses, but certainly starting point guard, multiple-year starting point guard, senior Ali Kramer, was not with the team last night under the weather. There's just a lot of people with the cold and the flu bugs and stuff, and so she's trying to get that shaken. The good news for BC is you got Riley Rottinghouse back out on the floor. She had been ill also and is just now getting back, got 10 minutes in. You can't throw somebody right back out there, but kind of got her reintroduced and into the game. She, you know, she scores a few points, and so it's good to see her getting back and able to play.
Yeah, so for the Lady Ravens, they played 10 players last night. They got 8 of those into the scoring column. Jennifer Jacobs led you with her 10 points. She was efficient with her shooting last night. She was 2 of 4 and 6 of 8 from the free throw line. So, again, Jennifer's not one of those players who's going to go out and throw up 20 shots just because that's not her style. But in a game like that where you're missing Kramer, you probably like her to shoot a little more when she's on like that. But again, shooters are sometimes going to go cold. And we always talk about teams and who's the catalyst for a team. And with this Lady Ravens team all season, they've been one of those that has been tough to just put your finger on. Where are the points going to come tonight, right? They've got enough players that can do it. Can I tell you the one player that I think really makes a difference for this team and does it quietly is Dubert, right? I think Lauren just kind of flies under the radar a little bit, and it's not that you take it for granted, but you just kind of pencil her in for 12, 15 points a night, right? I mean, just because she's able to do that for you. Last night, just couldn't get the shot to fall. She still finished with 8 points, but 3 of 11 shooting.
Yeah, and here's what else she brings to you. She brings an experienced hand to the game. And last night when Allie was ill, you've got Lauren. You pencil her and Kennedy in, for your 1-2. And, she's going to do just fine.
Yep, and you talk about Park last night. They had Angel Wiggins, who just had a night, right? Sometimes those things are going to happen, and a shooter knocks down 21 points, has 9 of her 11 free throws. You had...
Yeah, 9 of 11 at the free throw line is not too shabby. You're going to pretty much take that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just had players that just showed up last night, and, hey, for Park, they know they're kind of to the end of the season. They can still do a little damage in the middle portion of this conference, so... They had maybe a little more to fight for at that point, and again, just a good night for them. Games that happened around the conference last night, Missouri Valley knocked off Central Methodist on the ladies' side 81-71. It was Mid-America over Baker by 10, 70-60. Mount Mercy beats Culver Stockton in a lower scoring game, 56-42. Clark said, let's ratchet up the points, and they beat Grandview. How about that? Number 5 Clark over number 20 Grandview. 93-78. And then you had Peru scoring 91 last night as they beat Graceland 91-77.
So Clark has officially now mathematically sewn up the championship of the conference 20-1. Okay? 24-1 on the season. They're looking at that Benedictine game and just like gritting their teeth, aren't they?
Yeah, they're looking back at that Benedictine game and saying, man, that would be a game we would like to have back. You start to look at the conference and the conference standings on the ladies' side. And
yeah. We got Grandview in at number 2 at 18-4 in the conference. And then BC is still at 3rd at 15-6 after the loss. But you've got to look in your rearview mirror. Mid-America, Mount Mercy, right on your heels at 14 wins apiece. So you are a game ahead of the team in 4th and 5th. So for the Lady Ravens, imperative to win these last three games, especially since one of them, the one Saturday, is with Mount Mercy. I mean, you need to give yourself a little bit of separation here. You want that home game is what you want.
Yeah, Mount Mercy is a team that you lost to just recently. And Mid-America, how about this? Mid-America has come to life in the second half, right? And Coach Moody always talks about moving month. Well, you talk about Mid-America, they moved just a little early. They started their move on January 31st. They beat Peru State on January 31st. They've gone on to win their last 5, but they are winners of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. How about this? 12 of their last 13 games, they've won. Okay? It's crazy. And the only game they lost was home with Clark back on January 27th. They lost 65-60. They've gone on to win every game since. And I'm going to tell you, they will not lose another regular season game either, because their schedule is going to finish out home with Graceland, at Central Methodist, home with William Penn.
Okay, so you're playing the two bottom teams in the conference, and Central Methodist, who is under 500.
Yeah, and depends who shows up for them. So I'm just going to tell you, Mid-America is going to finish this thing out and go 3-0.
Yeah, so yep. Clark is going to win it. Grandview is locked into the second place. They can't go up, can't go down. And for Benedictine, again, huge to be in that third spot. Stay in that third spot. Guarantee yourself a home game. There's no way Benedictine, assuming that 1 and 2 don't lose in the first round, there's no way that Benedictine can get more than one home game in the conference tournament.
How many games has Mount Mercy played? 18? 22?
They played 22 conference games, and they have played 25 overall.
Okay. So, you start doing the math, and you're like, wait a second, Central Methodist, or Mount Mercy is almost done.
Yeah.
They've got two games left. They're two, Benedictine on Saturday, and then they are home with Central Methodist next Saturday to end the season. So, they're going to have basically a week between games. So, again, this game is huge for both of these teams on Saturday because, again, Mount Mercy could say, hey, we could do a little damage with a win on Saturday and then a week's of rest. So, for Benedictine. Now, the game against Park last night was tough to lose, but, again, it gives you a chance to kind of circle the wagons and say, hey, let's turn it on for this little run right here. And for Coach Folsom's team, I mean, you do. You find yourself kind of in just an all-out fight for that third spot. You're in a good spot because you control your own destiny. But, again, you've got two teams hot on your heels coming for you, and both of those teams have beat you once.
Yeah. And, of course, for Raven fans, we keep talking about it. I cannot say it enough. It is there are only two home games left this Saturday. Ladies' game is at noon Saturday up in the Nolan Gym, okay, with Mount Mercy. And very important, it is senior day. You got a bunch of seniors, and you just got to go up and see them. You've got Allie Kramer. You've got Josie Weiser. You've got Riley Wade. You've got Aaliyah Raines. And you've got Kyra Mishiraka. That's a great starting five.
Isn't it crazy to think that those players are already seniors?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, when it comes to senior day, you stop and you go, wow. I remember reading the press release about this player getting recruited to come here. You know, some of these players like Josie Weiser, we remember watching them in high school. Aaliyah Raines, you know, I mean, you heard a lot about her when she was at Jeff West. And so to think that these players are already seniors is just a little mind-boggling.
Yeah. And so, again, come up, watch them play. Cheer them on. They're going to want to have you in the stands. They're going to need to have you in the stands. Fans have turned out very well this season. Saturday at noon, Lady Ravens. And, of course, as always, you're going to hear it live here on Care Radio. We're taking a break. We'll be back talking more hoops right after this. Last night, the Benedictine men, Gus, that was a tremendous game, a fantastic battle right down to the end, literally down to the last fraction of a second, as the BC guys had a play on. They had to go literally the length of the floor and get a shot off in 2 seconds. They got one away. It hits the backboard, comes down. I thought it was going to go in. Hits the front of the rim, kicks up and out, and BC loses by one, 61-60. The Ravens have lost 4 in a row, 3 of those by a total of 5 points.
Yeah, you listen to Coach Moody. Tough. Talk to Coach Moody in the post game, and you kind of listen to his comments about, you know, when are we going to get those breaks, right? Like, how many times have you seen that shot hit off the backboard and fall right through?
Feels like it happens when it's the other team.
Right, you know, so it's just one of those things that, yeah, that was a tough one. The Ravens have been kind of in this situation off and on all season. They found themselves down 15 at the break, okay? They were down 39-24, and I feel like this has been a theme with you and Coach Moody. This team has had a lot of positions where they could pack it in and say, not our night, but that's not who this team is, right? They've been able to just battle back, able to get themselves back into that ball game last night, outscoring Park 36-22 in the second half, but yeah, you talked about it. Came up just a little short, and I think with the time that you had left in the ball game last night, you got the ball as far as you could. You found a shot that you were probably not 100% with, but you really liked it, right? Like it was probably as comfortable as you could have been with the time and the distance you had to go.
Yeah, Ravens continue, though, I think, to play hard. It's a bounce or two here and there. And last night, Jack Vanderwoody, here's a young guy who wasn't playing early in the season, freshman. You know, freshmen don't get to play right out the gate a lot of times, most of the time. He has come on, has gotten more and more time, got 19 minutes last night, about half the game, and 4 of 8 from the outside, dozen points. You had Ahmad. There's another guy who had a great night, 5 of 7 shooting. He handled the ball, I mean, so well. He was pivotal for Benedictine. And, you continue to see good things from some of these guys.
Yeah, you talk about a guy like Jack, and he came into the ball game. You talk about it, he played basically a half, 19 minutes. He shot 4 of 8. But the two numbers that stand out for me is, as a freshman, pulls down five boards and only has one turnover in those 12 points, or with his 12 points. So you got 19 minutes of basically flawless basketball from him, where he only had the one turnover. That's a big deal for a lot of coaches. Ezra came in and had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. That's a weird stat line from, you know, basically a point guard. But Coach Moody has had these guards that do a really nice job of mixing it up in the middle. They'll come down with rebounds because they come down with those, you know, boards that nobody wants to go after.
Yeah, and they hustle after it, and they get after it. And, I mean, you just see them. You just see them working so hard. For Benedictine, again, it is going to be senior day up in the Nolan Gymnasium, and the Raven guys are going to have a few seniors, not as many as the BC ladies, but they've got some seniors who have been pivotal. And, guys, I got to tell you, you know who the fan favorite, one of everybody's favorite. If you ask all the guys on the team, you know, who's the guy that you enjoy the most? Zach Schwinn. Hasn't got tons of times, hasn't got tons of points at every practice. Can call on him at any time. He is one of those three seniors. He, along with Ahmad Lewis and Braden Belt, the three seniors that will be honoring up at the Nolan Saturday afternoon at 2.
Yeah, I think Coach Moody hit on it in his postgame last night about, you know, three seniors and how this season has gone. Maybe wasn't exactly how you would like it for those seniors, but maybe the exciting part is when you start looking at the guys that are doing big things for this program. I mean, talk about Larry Parker III. He's a freshman. You talk about Bryson LaRue, only a sophomore. Jack Vanderwood, a sophomore. You talk about Preston, only a sophomore. And so you've got a lot of underclassmen. I mean, even Hagen, who is new to the program, only a junior. Gino, a junior. So you're going to bring back a lot of talent to next year's team. Games that went on around the conference last night. On the guy side, you had Central Methodist scoring some points. They knocked off Missouri Valley 90-67. Mid-America says 90's not enough. Let's score 100. They beat Baker 100-90. That was more like a Rick Weaver versus, you know, Rocky Lamar type score, okay? Culver Stockton held on to beat Mount Mercy 88-83. It was Grandview over Clark 79-68. And Peru State defeated Graceland 70-68.
Okay, so you look at how the standings are shaping up for this conference with only 4 games left, 3 games for some of the teams. Mid-America on top and probably going to win this thing at 19-2 because the number 2 team is Baker, 2 games behind them, 17-5. Central Methodist, 15 wins. Graceland, 15 wins. Those are your top 4 teams that are going to get the home games because no one can catch them, okay? Because after that, number 6, you've got Peru State with 11, Culver with 11, Granby with 11, Missouri Valley with 10. So that's kind of the field. Unless something remarkable happens, that's going to be the field for the conference postseason basketball tournament on the guys' side.
Yeah, and you start looking at the games that are going to happen this weekend, 2 of them in the earlier time slot. Mount Mercy at Benedictine, that's a 2 o'clock game. You're going to have Missouri Valley up at the Kiel Center in Dubuque taking on Clark. That is a 2 o'clock men's game. Central Methodist will be at Park, Baker at Culver, Penn at Peru, and Graceland will travel to Mid-America for a 4 o'clock start in Olathe.
Tell you what, again, we'll be up with them. Come up, senior day, the Benedictine ladies at noon Saturday, the Benedictine guys at 2 in the Nolan. Mount Mercy coming into town to be there for that. We'll be back. Sports Hook rolling along on a Thursday right after this. Well, last Sunday, it seems to me there was a football game. I'm trying to remember who it was. Is, you know, I want to say pretty exciting, kind of coming down right down to the very end of the game. And a lot of people around the area pretty happy with how it turned out. Wasn't there something about that?
Well, I woke up at the end to see confetti. So it was a good game, I take it?
I think it was pretty good. The Kansas City Chiefs. And this is only the second overtime championship game ever. And the Chiefs knock off the 49ers.
Only two championship games ever have gone to overtime, and Kyle Shanahan has blown both of them.
Oh, there you go. You just had to go right down that road, didn't you?
Yeah, we had to go there, right? Kansas City comes away with a 25-22 victory over the 49ers. And for Kansas City, back-to-back. That's a little crazy to say. Do you think you would say that? I'm not so sure I really thought I'd see Kansas City make it to this weekend, let alone say that they've won back-to-back.
No, it's not easy to do. It's been a long time since that has been done. And, you know, of course, here's some of those Chiefs players already throwing out the three-peat.
Right, yeah, because why not? That's what you're supposed to say because, again, every team's goal is, I don't care if you're the Chiefs or you're the Panthers, your goal next year is to win that championship, hoist that trophy. So, yeah, I think Kansas City keeps saying, you know, three-peat because you'd be crazy not to. And when you have 15, I think it's one of those things where maybe it's not completely impossible because he just does things that are on the next level.
Yeah, but the next level is also, if you flip that ball around, this is why they've already, 2 days after the season's over, they've extended Steve Spagnuolo. That's the right thing to do. Where, on the other side of that coin, 49ers bag their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, so those are two different things, right? So Kansas
Very
City
different
extends Steve. Mm-hmm. Which was the right thing to do. I think right now he and Andy Reid are kind of on the same contract of, hey, just if you're Clark, here's a whole bunch of money. You guys just tell me when you're not going to keep showing up, but until otherwise, you guys are here forever, right? I mean, because that's the correct call. For the 49ers, I feel like they scapegoated their defensive coordinator, and I just didn't care for them getting rid of Wilkes. I thought he did a lot of nice things, but at the end of the day, you were just going up against a mastermind as an offensive mind with Andy Reid. You're talking about Patrick, who plays football, and you've heard this a lot, especially over the last, like, 3 to 5 days, is Patrick goes out there and plays football like a basketball player, right? Give me the ball. I'm going to do this, and he has done that. And if you're the 49ers defensive coordinator, you're sitting there going, man, I don't know how we could have done much better. We held Kansas City to 25 points. Now, the one thing I do laugh about when it came to overtime, a couple things. Number one, the amount of people that just didn't understand overtime. And number two, why? Why does the NFL feel like overtime needs to be timed? College football doesn't. College football, it's an untimed period.
What's the difference? I mean, you can't tie. You cannot end that game in a tie.
Right, and so that's why I'm
saying. Now, in the regular season, you can, so I suppose that's why they time it. But, you know, in this championship game, it's impossible to leave it end deadlocked. So somebody's got to win.
Yeah, and so that's why I just don't understand why the NFL has it as a timed thing. Everybody wants to jump on the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan with taking the ball to start overtime. Hindsight is always going to be 20/20 in that situation, right? Like, I don't mind taking the ball and going down and scoring, but you got to also understand who you're playing. And if you're playing somebody like Andy Reid that's going to say, hey, we talked about this. Have you seen the coin toss where they slow it down and show Patrick's face? He's looking at the ground, and when the 49ers win the toss, he keeps looking down, and they say, we want the ball. His eyes get big, and he looks up like, okay, we want to kick it that way.
Yeah, I mean, because he and Reid had just had a long conversation on the sideline. I saw that film also. Yeah. It's like, okay, now don't forget, we win it, we will defer.
Yeah, and so you say, okay, I guess we're going to go ahead and kick the ball away. But Kansas City had already talked about it. Had they gone down and scored, they were going for two. I mean, they were not going to let that thing go to a third possession. It's one of those things I just look at and I say, you know, you've got a plan. You just have to follow your plan. I get the analytics of holding the ball third, but you also have to understand that to get the ball third means that team's willing to give you the ball another time and not trying to just win it themselves by going for the two.
Okay. There are, in my opinion, grossly unsung heroes for Kansas City in this game. Harrison Butker,
okay.
Drew Tranquil. The block of that kick.
Well, that was Leo.
That was Leo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The block
Leo
of that
Schnell.
Kick. And also, I'm going to go with George because when he dove on top of that fumble, when there were like three guys that were right there. I don't know how he ever got underneath him to recover that. So many little things and huge plays at that moment that when the game is over and there's so many other huge plays, it's hard to remember those. But every one of them pivotal in its impact in the game.
Yeah, so how about the 49ers kicker? You kick the field goal, and you have the longest field goal in championship history. And it lasts for what? All of 20 total, like, real-life minutes? And the Bucker drills the 50, was it 57?
Seven.
Right before the half, which was a huge difference for Kansas City going into the half, having got a few points on the board, and you're starting to feel a little better about yourselves. You know, Leo getting the hand up and blocking the field goal attempt, which, or the extra point, which changed the entire game, right?
How many?
Instead of four, it's three, and that forces overtime.
Here's a great a little investigative reporting to be done, and I have not heard this. It just occurs to me. How many NFL championship games have had a blocked PAT?
Man, I bet. It would be very few.
I bet there's been few of any.
Because just a few years ago, I mean, is when we backed it up to kick the longer PAT. Because before, it was just a gimme, right? You put the ball at the, 10-yard line, and you were kicking 20-yard PATs, which, of course, you can't block that.
The line of scrimmage at the 3, so you kick them from the 20, or the 10 for 20.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're just never going to see those really blocked. So, again, it's going to be very few and far between. And for Kansas City, so many little things, so many little players, but when it all comes together, that's probably why you win a game like that. And you talk about a guy like Karloftis, and you talk about his fumble recovery. How about late in the ball game on that 3rd and 5 where Trent McDuffie comes flying through and gets a hand on the football and comes untouched? Everybody talks about Trent McDuffie. What he did before the play was spectacular. He backpedaled. Brock turned his head. He knew what was happening. That Brock looks left, then he looks right. He looks to the left. Your cornerback is backing up and knows he never looks back to the left again. You take off. But what people don't realize about that play, George goes wide, pulls the tackle out, all of a sudden that. So, I mean, there were just so many great things about this team. And at the end of the day, yeah, it's crazy. It's another championship in the trophy case. You take Andy Reid, who was a guy coming in, had never won a title. Now, all of a sudden, he's a coach with 3 rings. He's, you know, moved up. How about the Chiefs as an organization? They go from a team who had only one Super Bowl in 50 years of existence. Now, all of a sudden, they're a team with 4 Super Bowl trophies. So they went from, you know, second to the bottom to, you know, right up there with the Blue Bloods, if you would.
Do the Jets hate themselves?
For what? Getting rid of McColl?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but you also look at the Jets as a team who, again, find a way to botch all kinds of things. So, yeah, I mean, if for Jets fans, it's just another thing in the long list of things that have gone wrong.
And, of course, the NFL season never ends because the combine is coming up here in another 2 weeks.
Yeah, so how about that? If you're the Chiefs front office, cool, enjoy the game. But now it's like you're already turning your attention. You've got the big board up in the office, and you're starting to figure out, you know, where are we going with the draft? What's going to happen with contracts? And so, yeah, I mean, it is a never-ending machine, and that's maybe one of the problems with, you know, if there is a problem with playing all the way to the championship game, it surely shortens your window of extra time you're going to have to prepare for, you know, the combine and the draft and OTAs. I mean, every season that the Chiefs are in the playoffs, that's like, what, 4 extra games, right? So every 5 years, that's another 20-game schedule.
Yeah, but, you know? But here's the thing. You know, Andy was, Monday morning, was in the office scratching up some stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm sure there's note cards all over the place saying, hey, how about this
one? He was doing that in the airplane ride home from Las Vegas. Hey, you know what? So one major sports, professional sports season ends, another begins. As yesterday, pitchers and catchers reported, first game, next Friday, Major League Baseball underway. Big news for Kansas City is the announcement that they are going to construct, I guess, the downtown new stadium. And with that comes an awful lot of questions.
Yeah, lots of questions, right? And I think it's one of those things that the Royals have a huge staff full of, you know, highly paid individuals to help answer those questions. But yeah, I think it's one of those things where it looks like it's going to move forward. It's not going to be where they originally thought it was. It actually was down to two places, and the Royals picked a third that wasn't really one of the finalists. But the renderings look awesome. I think that, you know, there'll be a lot of changes, you know, to those renderings before you actually get to the final product. But it should be interesting, and the Royals spent a lot of money in the offseason to try to put together a team that should compete. And I'm going to tell you, competing and winning baseball games will go a lot of, or will go a long ways for, you know, help bridge in that gap.
Here's the deal. The Royals have signed some pretty good talent. They brought some guys in, and yeah, they're going to, the fan, you know, Kansas City fan, Kansas City, who's going to be paying for this thing, they're going to feel a little bit better about it. Of course, there are questions like, you know, a lot of people are going to be displaced. You know, there are going to be a lot of properties torn down and a lot of people who are not going to want to leave, and they're going to use eminent domain. It'll make them unhappy, just like when they built the Legends. But that, you know, that is just how that works. And for me, the big question is, what happens to the K?
Yeah, what happens to the K? What happens with the Chiefs, right? They have been a little quiet about everything. And I'm telling you, I think that the Chiefs will probably just keep Arrowhead how it is. They'll try to improve it a little bit, maybe look to figure out some way of doing the roof. I know they've talked about that for ever since they built the complex.
Designed to have
But I think at some point they will probably try to figure that out, because they would love to host a championship game. They would love to host a Final Four and things like that. So, again, it'll be really interesting to see how things move forward with the Truman Sports Complex.
And, of course, you know, we move into college basketball at the NCAA level, and there's some pretty good teams right now for around here. Kansas still in the top rankings, number 6, at Oklahoma State Saturday at 3. That's always a tough draw, man.
Yeah,
Gallagher, Iowa, tough spot.
Yeah, and for Kansas, they're coming off a tough loss Monday at Texas Tech. It's one of those games.
Is it a tough loss?
It's one of those games you kind of throw away.
Ryan Moody would call that a flush game.
Yeah, it's one of those games, yeah, you throw it away, yeah. You flush it, you move on. And I think, you know, it was so bad that Coach Self said, hey, I got to get out of here a little early and, you know, took a quick shower.
Took a powder.
And Kansas State going to be home Saturday morning for an 11 a.m. tip-off with TCU.
Is Houston the best team in the country right now?
Maybe no. I mean,
Purdue?
Here's my problem.
UConn?
I don't trust UConn because that conference they play in. Purdue is basically the same team they had last year that lost out in, what, the first or the second round. Playing kind of that Big Ten schedule, I'm not so sure I really believe in a lot of those schools for anything, right? Who else? Houston? Houston lost to Kansas pretty handily earlier this season. So, again, I'm not sure on Houston, but I will tell you Houston's going to be the most battle-tested because, again, having to come through this Big 12 is not going to be easy.
Look at the Big 12. You got Kansas, you got Baylor, you got BYU, you got Iowa State, you got Houston, all of them up near the top. This is – I heard – somebody told me once this is a basketball conference.
I've never heard that before.
You didn't? I heard it.
Yeah, because what, Houston and Iowa State maybe play this weekend. That's a 2 or 3 versus 10, so that should be a good matchup. Yeah, this Big 12 is loaded up. I think the Big 12 tournament could be just crazy. Yeah, there's some good teams to come out of this.
Hey, there's some good teams playing some games around here, basketball, and we're going to have them on Cairn Radio tomorrow night. We're going to be in Valley Falls. Dragons, Chargers, JCN on the road. You'll hear that one 6 about for the ladies and the guys afterward. Saturday, it is senior day at the Nolan Gymnasium. Come up. 2 home games remain. They are at noon and 2 on Saturday as Benedictine hosts Mount Mercy. Next Tuesday night, we're going to have Jeff North at ACCHS, and Wednesday, Grandview at Benedictine, the final regular season home game for the Ravens. Gotta thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank, our fantastic sports look sponsors. Tim will greet you next time. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.